Well, as we turn to God's Word, I'm going to read this morning from John's Gospel. Oh dear, I've got them all in the wrong order. That's what I get for going through it this morning and not checking it one last time. I've gotten my notes in reverse order. You almost got it in gibberish. There we go, that's much better. I'm going to read this morning from John's Gospel. I'm going to start reading in chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. Let me just stop there and get us kind of on the right, all over the right page. This is John the Baptist. He has been baptizing people down at the Jordan River. A couple of days before this, he had baptized Jesus, and he had seen this dove come down from heaven and rest on Jesus, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And John had witnessed this. And so it was the next day John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you'll see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. Then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And like Andrew and Peter, Philip was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can any good thing come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. And that's where I'm going to stop. The remainder of the verses are about Nathanael, and we're going to look at them next week. You know, the opposite of lost is found. If you lose something, you start to look for what you've lost. And let's face it, a lot of us are all in the same age bracket. I now seem to be looking all the time for stuff that I have lost. I misplace things all the time. Where are the keys? Where's this? Where's that? Where is it? And when you find something, it's because it's been lost or it's been misplaced. And there's, oh, phew, there it is. I've got it. I found it. Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there's actually a lot of finding that's going on here in John chapter 1 that we read this morning. In verse 41, Andrew finds his brother Simon. And he says to Simon, we have found the Messiah. And then down to verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And then verse 45, Philip found Nathanael. And Philip tells Nathanael, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. There's a lot of finding that's going on here in this portion of John chapter 1. There's people finding people, and there's people finding Jesus, and there's Jesus finding people. So if the opposite of being found is being lost, there have been a lot of lost people in this portion of Scripture. You know, Jesus often spoke about people as being lost. Jesus told his disciples at one point when he was sending them out two by two to go to the lost sheep of Israel. You read that in Matthew 10 and verse 6. Or Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 14, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. And then Jesus, he once told a story about a lost sheep. And he followed that up with a story of a lost coin. And he finished it up with a story of a lost son. Jesus even described his own ministry in Luke's gospel, in Luke 19, verse 10, by saying, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' job was to seek and to save the lost. Now, when you think about it, it's actually a wonderful thing to be described as being lost. And the reason I say that is because to be lost is to be sought after. It means when you're sought after, when you're lost, that you're valued, you're wanted, you're important. You know, you don't get upset if you lose a Kleenex tissue. I'm smiling at my wife right now. We had this discussion last night. You know, you don't get upset if you lose a Kleenex. You simply get another one because, well, it's going to be thrown away anyway, so who cares? But if you lose your phone, or if you lose, ladies, your purse, or guys, your wallet, or you lose your ring, or a set of keys, you start madly searching for them because they're things that are important and they're lost, and where are they? What has happened to it? You describe something as being lost that you have placed value on. So when Jesus says he is seeking and saving that which is lost, whatever is included in that statement is wrapped up in the fact that what Jesus is seeking is valuable to him. Do you know that you are valuable to Jesus? He is seeking you out. Jesus has placed great value on your life. And this is the starting point of God's relationship with us, that we are of enormous value to him. Now, back in verse 43 of our text, it says that Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. But yet in verse 45, Philip says to Nathanael, we have found Moses, or we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. So my question is, did Jesus find Philip, or did Philip find Jesus? Who found who? And the answer is they both found each other. Jesus found Philip, and Philip found Jesus. You see, there is a seeking Savior who is looking for and finding lost sinners. And there are seeking sinners who are looking for and finding. So a lot of times they don't know what they're looking for. They're looking to find something, and all of a sudden they find a seeking Savior. You know, Jesus also said, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which means the people who never find are the people who never seek. And the only people to whom the door stays closed are the people who never knock. For Jesus said, everyone who seeks, everyone who knocks, everyone who receives finds. So this isn't something where one party is passive and the other party does all the active work. The Lord Jesus is seeking. He is hunting people down, so to speak. But the people aren't just sitting back passively, well, whatever, who cares, so what? There's this reciprocating seeking after God. There's been this stirring. They've been searching for something in life. They've been seeking. Is there a God out there? If there is, I need to get in touch with him. I need to find him. How do you do that? You need to find him. And you know, it's amazing, isn't it? You soon discover when you start to seek for God, he's already been seeking for you and working in your life. And it doesn't take long for a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior to connect. and you will meet. You know, in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, we read there, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God's not hiding. He will be found when you seek after him. So Philip found Jesus. But you might ask, well, how do you seek for God? Where do you start looking? Well, there's actually a little bit of important information about Philip in these verses that is very helpful to us. Back to verse 45 in our text, when it says Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote." Where was Philip looking? What was Philip doing? He's been reading and studying the scriptures. He's been looking into the word of God. You see, if we're going to go and look for God, it's wise to start looking for God where God is. As you know, Sandy and I have been away for a couple of weeks, and we went fishing up Telegraph Cove way. And one thing about fishing, if you're a fisherman, you need to know. You need to know where the fish are. If you're not fishing where the fish are, you're not going to catch fish. You need to know where they are so you can fish where they are. Because if you don't fish where they are, you're going to do a lot of fishing and no catching. I do a lot of that. I don't know where they are. Where do you look for God? The Bible is the revelation that God has given to us about himself. Now, it's interesting. We see the fingerprints of God all around us in creation. But you'll only ever learn about the love of God, about the character of God, by reading his word as he's revealed himself to us. Maybe your appetite has been aroused by seeing Jesus in someone else's life, and you go, "Boy, they've got something I don't have, and what is that?" But you'll only come to know who Jesus is as he is revealed to you through the scriptures. Philip has obviously been listening to the scriptures that were being taught and learning the scriptures for himself. So when Philip meets Jesus, he recognizes him. It's like, everything makes sense. Everything falls into place. This is the one Moses and the prophets wrote about and talked about. It all fits. I get it. This is him. You know, many people make up their own version of God, the God they want or the Jesus they want. But it is not the God or the Jesus of the Bible. So how do you know the real Jesus? Well, he is the one who occupies the whole of Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. It reveals God and Jesus Christ. He is the one who fulfills what the Scriptures say of him. This is where we meet and find Jesus. You know, people search for Jesus. They search for God in all kinds of funny ways. But you'll only find the reality of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in this book. It's where you need to go to find him. Where's Philip been searching? He's been searching in the Word of God. Which encourages me to say to all of us, let's get into this book and let it speak to us so that we may come to know and find the Jesus and the God of Scriptures. And that we will recognize him the minute that we see him. And any time a phony comes across our path, we know there's something wrong because it doesn't quite feel right. There's something wrong here. And you know that because you've been in the Word of God. Now, the other side of the coin, the other side of the equation, if Philip was looking for Jesus and Philip finds Jesus, Jesus was also looking for Philip. And Jesus finds Philip. That's what verse 43 is about. And the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." You see, Jesus is not passive. He's not hiding. He is looking and searching. He is a seeking Savior. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is pursuing people He's pursuing you. He's hunting you down. And this can happen in all kinds of ways. Maybe you've been resistant and wrestling with spiritual things, and something all of a sudden happens and it gets your attention. Maybe it is out in nature. And you start to think, boy, this couldn't all just happen by a bang. There's a creator behind it. Or maybe you've had a sudden loss or a health problem, but something gets your attention. Maybe it's even a restlessness within your heart and your soul and your spirit, and you're wondering, what in the world is life all about anyways? It's got to be more than just you're born, you live, you die, that's it. What's it all about? You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, Solomon says, God has put eternity into the hearts of man. God has put eternity into the hearts of people. God has put eternity into the hearts of each one, the sense that there has to be something more to life. You know, humans are the only creatures in the world that understand they're going to die. Cats don't know that. Dogs don't know that. Mice don't know that. Fish don't even know that. If so, there was 15 of them that didn't realize it before they hit my hook. Only humans know they're going to die. You know, your cat doesn't say, my life's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. I think I'll just go jump off a bridge. Why? Because there's something inside of people that says there's more to life than just this. And it's all part of the revelation that God has given to us and put in our hearts. And as you begin to respond to that revelation, God will lead you step by step along the way. Sometimes it's even out of rebelliousness that God works. You know, we're told in verse 44 that Philip's from the town of Bethsaida. And we learn something about Bethsaida in Matthew's gospel that's kind of interesting. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21, it says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Jesus is saying, Bethsaida has seen, the people there have seen many, many miracles, but they just wouldn't listen. Philip, he grew up, and he lived in an environment that was antagonistic toward the working of God. You know, we live in an environment today that is increasingly antagonistic toward the working of Jesus Christ. And my encouragement to us is not to give up hope in our Western world, where the church is in decline and where it seems like Christian influence is in decline and everyone's out to get you. Don't give up hope in the spread of the gospel. There are men, there are women, there are teens, there are boys, and there are girls. There are the Philips of this world that God is seeking after. God is seeking after each one. And as they are seeking, they often don't even know what they're seeking for, but as they are seeking, And it might seem like they're rebellious and resistant at the beginning, but God all of a sudden breaks through. You know, often it's the resistant and the rebellious who come and are responsive. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, we read this. For the eyes of the Lord are ranged throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord are running. They're looking. They're searching. They're waiting for a heart that will respond. God is continually looking. You know, one day, you'll look back, and you'll see how the Spirit of God was working and drawing you to himself. For Jesus said, for everyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. And Jesus, when he decided to leave for Galilee, verse 43, finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, follow me. Nothing more. Follow me. Jesus is saying, Philip, bring your life into alignment with mine. Come into a relationship with me. Let me be the one who leads and guides and directs your life. Philip, follow me. You know, that same invitation is for us to do the same today. Are you lost and desperately needing to be found? Know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And if that's you today, there's hope. Jesus is seeking you because he loves you and you are of great value to him. And if you want to be found by Jesus, he knows where you are. You know, you can be found by just even praying a very simple prayer. Simple prayer like I'm going to pray right now. It'd be, Lord Jesus, I've been searching. I've gone down all kinds of wrong roads and rabbit trails that have all led in the wrong direction. But I sense you're drawing me to yourself. And I want to be found by you and give my life to you. And I want to follow you, Jesus. Forgive me of all the wrong things I have done. And come and live your life in me. I pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now what do? You follow Jesus. You love what Jesus loves. You do what Jesus says. You follow him each day of your life. That's the story of Philip. Isn't that interesting? There's so much seeking and finding. And it all happens as people find Jesus and Jesus finds people and they go out and find other people and bring them to Jesus. And all of this seeking and finding, lost people finding other lost people to bring to Jesus who finds them, and they find a whole new purpose in life. Wow. Follow me, Jesus says. Lord, help each one of us. I know most of us here are following you. I can't speak for everyone, I don't know. But thank you for a seeking Savior that is seeking lost people. And thank you that it doesn't take long for someone that's lost and seeking to find a seeking Savior and be found. Thank you that we're valuable to each one. Each one of us is valuable to you, Lord. And I pray that each one of us will know what it is to be found by you. We pray in your name.